please, the September 7th, 2022 regular planning board meeting. And this meeting has been advertised pursuant to Public Law 231, also known as Open Public Meetings Act. And can we go to a flag salute, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please. And why don't you do a roll call, please? Turn off all the electronic devices in the room.
Mr. Adams?
Here.
Mr. Allegretto?
Here.
Mr. Becker? Mr. Birch?
Here.
Mrs. Halliday? Mr. Jessel?
Here.
Mr. Lovechuck?
Here.
Mr. Loper?
Yes.
Mr. Shepherd?
Here.
Mr. Stell?
Here.
Dr. Vandeshoor?
Under new business, it's PBA 22-017. Vince and Mary Castan, okay, at 12 Kingston Lane, Block 2211, Lot 6, RNL Zone. Mr. Young.
Dan Young, on behalf of the applicants, as indicated, this is Lot 6, Block 2211. It's a very simple application. The applicants wish to subdivide the existing lot with two lots. The property was two lots previously, with the same lot lines that are proposed tonight. However, in 2019, the applicants merged the property with the adjoining property after they became owners of both lots. They now realize that was a mistake, and they're trying to undo it and go back to 2019 when there were two lots. I should point out that Lot 6 is what's shown on the current tax records. I know some of the reports said 6 and 7, but it's Lot 6 because of that merger. We got confirmation from the tax assessor that the new lots will be 6.01 and 6.02, and that's what the plan reflect. Both of these proposed lots conform to the bulk standards of the ordinance. While this application was pending, it was discovered that the pool equipment on Lot 6.01 requires a variance. The home and pool on this lot were constructed in 2016, before the lots were merged. The setback required for the equipment is 6 feet, and only 5.6 exists. The city issued the CO in 2016, apparently not realizing that there was a less than 5-inch discrepancy on that pool equipment, because that's where the lot line was at the time. It's the same lot line we're asking for tonight. Now, because we picked that up in this application, it requires a variance, basically back the way it was in 2019. That's a side yard setback variance for less than 5 inches. Testimony is going to demonstrate that both the C1 and the C2 criteria are satisfied with respect to the minor variance request, and with that a reduction, I'd like to call John Halliburton.
Good evening, Mr. Halliburton. Testimony I'm about to give this evening the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth, self-evident.
It is.
Chairman recognized Mr. Halliburton.
And Mr. Halliburton has tabulated him in front of us on many occasions. He may proceed.
John, if you would just explain the nature of the application and the existing conditions and what we're proposing.
Yeah, as you're going to get into your opening statements for us, we're looking to recreate the original boundary line for the original Lot 6 and Lot 7, taking what is now a 100-foot wide lot and recreate the original two public line lots. What used to be Lot 6 will now become Lot 6.02. What used to be Lot 7 will become, to check that out, what used to be Lot 6 will become Lot 6.01. Which is the Lot 7 will become Lot 6.02. The lots are 100 feet deep by deed. They each benefit from about another 5 feet or so between the deed and rear line and bulkhead line for the quick claim process of the slip of every error. Make them all about 105 feet deep. Total lot area existing is 10,528 change square feet. The original Lot 6, which is now to be proposed Lot 6.01, is the result of a house that was constructed in 2015 and started and completed in 2016. That's a two-story house. CO was issued for that in 2016. That does have a de minimis encroachment that Dan's referring to in his opening statements regarding the pool equipment. On the rear of the building, right side is a piece from the street, which is also the north side, the very back of the house. 5-foot-long platform. It is encroaching into the side yard setback requirement for pool equipment, which is 6 feet by 0.4 feet, which is a little bit less than 5 inches. The CO was issued for that back in 2016, despite the deviation. Presumption is either the zoning officer missed it or considered the deviation not to be significant enough to warrant holding the CO. On the proposed lot 6.02, the northerly lot, presently it's vacant. There was a house on there prior to the acquisition by the current owner. That house was demolished. It's a vacant lot now, approved only with the driveway and sidewalk. And the sidewalk in front of that was actually constructed as part of the demolition some 2 or 3 years ago. For context, the surrounding properties are all single-family homes all around us, all similarly in the Ridge River Lagoons Living District. And virtually every single one of them is a 50-foot wide lot, but for the typical triangular shaped pieces, that's again a cul-de-sac, which happens in those peninsula shape of Ridge River properties. The proposed development in terms of physical improvements is very limited. There is a small at-grade timber deck at the back of the house that straddles a lot line. We're going to remove that so that the edge of the resulting grade deck surrounding the pool is in line with the sideline of the house, making thereby compliant. The existing driveway, sidewalks, straddle property line, and fence for now are proposed to remain. There's no immediate plans for the development of the new lot 6.02, and frankly, we think the neighborhood interest is better served by keeping those items than removing them. Without that fence, a vacant lot tends to be an attractive nuisance. Fence helps keep kids and whatnot away from the vacant lot and the water's edge there.
And John, we would accept the condition as a part of the approval that we have removed for any development permit this issue on the 6.02.
Correct, yes. We're also proposing to add 2 street trees which should be existent in front of the improvement lot, which is proposed lot 6.01. The street trees for the future lot 6.02 won't be installed until the future development ultimately takes place there. As we've made reference to several times, the only variance that we're really asking for this subdivision is for this de minimis encroachment of the pool equipment. The lot sizes themselves are both fully conformant. In fact, not only conformant, they're entirely consistent with the size of lots in the Rivier zone. The side yard encroachment that I referred to, remembering that a 6 foot setback with pool equipment required, 5.6 was originally constructed and also approved by zoning CO in 2016. We're looking to simply recreate and preserve that same 5.6 foot setback. Again, for context, we're talking about less than 5 inches on a deck that's only 5 feet long to the back of the house. That variance, I think, can be granted on both C1 and C2 criteria. In terms of the C1, remember that they're justified upon finding that a hardship exists arising out of exceptional circumstances that uniquely affect a specific piece of property, and, here's the emphasis, structures are lawful existing thereon. In this instant application, the granting of the CO 2016 established the building and pool equipment platform as lawfully existing. This application simply looks to restore and recreate what was originally approved in 2016. Flipping over to the C2 criteria, the benefits versus the detriments, when you look at the application as a whole, the granting of the subdivision has benefits that far outweigh the detriments. The only variance we're seeking, again, is a very de minimis side yard setback of the pool equipment. The benefits of the subdivision is recreating 2 lots, each 50 feet in width, which returns a street and airfield to the length of the side lots. This does promote the general welfare of the community. In terms of detriments, if you look at what potential impact the district may have for the side yard encroachment, the yard encroachments have the potential to adversely affect view corridors and air and open space. In this instance, the encroachment is again less than 5 inches over less than 5 foot length over a deck that is about 3 feet above grade. You can see from the street because the fencing is in front of the yard. So truly, there is no effect of view corridors and light air and open space that may be affected by it. They're dealing with empty lot and not yet developed. And anyone who feels so disadvantaged by having this 5-inch encroachment can design around that as they develop plans for that future lot. So its present location and configuration, there is no cognizant adverse effect on the public or neighbors viewing or the wide area of the open space. So the benefits clearly outweigh the detriments. In terms of the negative criteria, just as always the balancing act, the negative criteria always involves is there more positive than negative to the application. And with the proposed subdivision, there is no substantial impairment to the zone plan or neighborhood. So the benefits I described certainly outweigh the detriments, and the negative criteria I believe that is satisfied as the variance came granted. The application carries with it two requested waivers, one for topographic data, and more specifically contours associated with topographic data. Spot elevations are provided, but the contours, the land is so flat, the contours would be, so the point of contours is to obviously demonstrate stormwater flow and slopes, erosion for the spot. Furthermore, there's no development, so we're not trying to create and design anything. This is a subdivision of the land. So we respectfully request that we be granted the waiver for not providing the specifically the contours part of the topographic data requirement. And lastly, the ordinance requires curb sidewalks to be placed with development. We're not developing a new lot now. The lot that already has a house on it has curb sidewalk that was constructed with it some 7 or 8 years ago. Now we got the sidewalk in front of the vacant lot that will be built sometime in the future. That was actually recently reconstructed after the house was done. So the sidewalk's in great shape. We're not proposing any development, so hence we're seeking a waiver from the need to reconstruct the curb and sidewalk.
Now, John, we do have a document that is a little more legible. I think one of the professional reports, the board's professional reports, indicated the legibility on the assignment of lot numbers.
The tax assessor's assignment on
right,
lot
so
numbers. Numbers.
We do like that as an exhibit, so you have the assignment.
Thank you, Mr.
Isn't this in the packet?
That's all we have.
Any questions?
It was in the packet, but I don't think it was readable. It must have been the copies.
Okay.
You can see W is Mike Brady's initials at the bottom.
Does anybody on the board have any questions for Mr. Helberner at this time? Seeing none, I'd like to go to my professionals. Mr. Shull.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our report on this application is dated July 26th, revised report. We have done a prior report. This is based on revised plans. Checklist items been attested to by Mr. Halberner. A waiver requested for the contours, which is typical. I have an issue with that. Item 13 on the checklist. Indicate a waiver request that has actually been addressed by Mr. Young, and a waiver for county, or excuse me, for sewer serviceability, which would be a condition of approval. Just one variance required is indicated in my zoning schedule, page 6, for the side yard encroachment of the existing school equipment, 6 feet required, 5.6 existing proposed. See only variance. Just jump to my review comments. Applicant has provided testimony regarding the variance requested regarding the C1 and C2 criteria. The applicant is also requesting a design waiver for new curb and sidewalk. I don't know the condition of that, but perhaps the board engineer would weigh in on that and advise the board accordingly. With respect to comment number 3, the existing concrete to be retained on proposed lot 6.02. The applicant has indicated that is to be retained, presumably to allow some additional parking for the home on lot 6.01. If I understood correctly, the applicant intends to provide street trees on 6.01, and street trees on 6.02 will be provided at the time of building permit and CO. After this address comment number 5, no revisions necessary. Comment 6 is indicating based on the bedroom count in 6.01 that the existing parking is in conformance with RSIS requirements. And via the exhibit just provided by Mr. Young, comment 7 has been addressed. And we have our typical conditions of approval. The board wishes to approve the subdivision, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for our planner? Anyone? Seeing none, Mr. Scheidt.
Chairman and board members, our report was also dated July 26th, and this is a second review of this application. Mr. Young and Mr. Halberner did a very good job of identifying the issues from my review letter. I have a couple of questions that I'd like to get some clarification on. So you're asking for a waiver for curb and sidewalk. I don't have a problem with that. Especially if it's in good shape and relatively. The question then becomes, you know, we always have that engineer's cost estimate. So there's probably no, you probably waive that as we're not going to do curb and sidewalk. The only question is what mechanism is there to have that ground level deck in the back removed that they spoke of to the side of the house and the installation of the two street trees on lot 6.01.
My concern too is that driveway that's being left, that's going to straddle the property line, like a demolition guarantee.
That's going to come out if and when that property is developed. They just don't want to look it out now because they're just put in. With respect to the platform in the back, we can make that, and the tree trees condition before you sign off on the plat.
I'm good with that.
That's it, but I mean, there's not going to be any mechanism for somebody to go out and confirm anything, like the street trees have been installed, is leaving that driveway, like let's say it's there for 10 years, is it going to remerge the lots then?
No, because we have a subdivision.
And the lots are performing anyway. They won't merge if they were.
That's why I'm kind of asking.
So the driveway is wholly, the spare driveway, if you will, is wholly on lot 6.02.
Right.
And that's going to come out.
And you can't, it can't be a parking lot when there's no primary principal structure on it. Do you see what I mean? Like it can't be.
An
accessory use.
Right, because there's no principal use on it. And so, I mean, these are just things that I'm thinking could happen.
It doesn't hurt the neighborhood. It's not an issue. I understand the technical question.
Yeah.
You can also say upon transfer of any ownership of that lot, if that's what you're concerned about, that we would take out that driveway. It's just, it's expense that we really don't need, and it really helps the neighborhood to have an extra off-street parking space.
And you have a dock behind that property anyway, so it's a place for somebody to come in and
take
their boat.
They did it to basically not have street parking and have that fences up there so that it's an open lagoon that people can walk and go in, trespass, attract nuisance for kids. That's why we're asking for these improvements to kind of stay until, if you want to put a condition resolution, so you don't get into an independent lot that is a parking lot, that it have to be removed not upon building permit or transfer of ownership.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm.
Why can't we just put in the resolution that the driveway will be permitted to stay for purposes of this application, but that if a building permit is ever sought for a new property, the driveway will come out.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. We have no mechanism of following up on that. Construction's not going to.
It will be in the resolution.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it's fine with me. I just don't want it.
Well, can you put it on the plat? Make a note on the plan.
The driveway may end up staying in service for some future development. I mean, who's to say that the driveway is not encroaching? It doesn't straddle property line.
Oh, I thought you said it did.
A sidewalk which straddles the property line.
Oh, the sidewalk.
And again, who's to say that doesn't say?
But that's true. So,
because
the existing driveway when they demoed the house.
Yes.
They didn't put this driveway in after it was subdivided.
They reconstructed the driveway the same footprint when the house was built. Yeah.
So the question though, the driveway that's on that lot 6.02, that vacant lot, that would be solely for the use of the current owner.
Yes.
You're not going to rent that dock out and that's a parking spot for a rented dock area.
The mistake they made was merging it. And because they wanted to have everything used themselves, and then they realized that it had a bunch of regulatory and value issues that they made a mistake.
Oh, great.
To be frank with you, explained that to them and told them not to merge it, and he came back a few days later and said, I made a big mistake, I should listen to you.
And there's not going to be issues with setting monuments or anything with the with structures straddling the
that
property line or the
easy.
Sidewalk.
We'll
okay.
We'll just leave the driveway in place for the benefit and use of the owners of 6.01, period. And then if somebody's going to come by and then they're going to transfer ownership, so they're going to build a new home with a new design and eliminate the driveway, it'll be eliminated.
Or they
you don't have to say anything about the driveway.
That's...
I'm okay with that.
We'll work out the line.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
So typically before we sign a plat, we get a letter from the surveyor stating that all improvements have been demolished and the monuments have been set. So we'll do the same thing.
Right.
That the street trees will be installed and you'll certify to that, and that rear portion of that deck will be
that'll be the demolition confirmation.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Monument set and that demolition stuff
you
done.
You have to set the monuments anyway.
Yeah. Well, at least there's some mechanism now.
For, yeah, that's kind of what, like, how what's going to trigger somebody to, all right, so it'll be, the proof of demolition will be when the part of that deck is removed and the street trees are installed and the monuments are set. And okay, all right, I like it.
Connected
walk,
are you
concerned
about that?
Well, yeah, no.
If you do that, then I have no issue with waiving the performance bond.
There doesn't need to be an easement or anything for that stinking sidewalk. Walkway. Okay.
They own it.
Well, it goes across the new property line. Parts on there, parts on the 6.01 and parts on 6.02. That's why I was questioning that. Okay. All right. And so then no guarantees if the board decides to waive that. Okay. I think I got it.
Everybody happy? I'm not going to open it to the public because there is no public. And we're back to our attorney for closing. Back to Mr. Young.
As I said, very simple application. You just want to go back to the future of 2019 and have two lots. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm back to my solicitor for
a resolution. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Mr. Young has indicated, this is probably as close to a simple byright you can get without being breakfast. The chair can entertain a motion in the affirmative to approve the minor subdivision request that's tonight with the variance from the encroachment and the sidewalk for the pool equipment and the waiver request for the topographical contour as well as the necessity which normally would require the creation of new curb and sidewalk. Those waivers and the subdivision request itself can be considered a motion. I'll just refresh the point on the conditions. The ground level deck is going to be demolished. Street trees for proposed lot 6.02 will be installed in the future. There's been an agreement that guarantees it's not required for under Article 1600 on waive. Chair can entertain a motion in the affirmative. And gentlemen, when casting your ballots, please specify your reasons for your vote.
Based on what you've heard from our solicitor, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second, Kirk.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Allegretto?
I vote yes. You're creating two conforming lots for the neighborhood, and the variance for the pool equipment, I think, does not create any kind of detriment in this.
Mr. Lovechuk?
Same reasons, I agree, yes.
Mr. Jessel?
I vote yes for previous stated reasons.
Mr. Shepherd?
I vote yes, also previously stated reasons.
Mr. Adams?
Yes, previously stated reasons.
Mr. Birch?
Also yes, previously stated reasons.
Mr. Stell?
Vote yes for the same reasons.
Mr. Loper?
Yes, for all the previous stated reasons. And the owner is just going back to an original plot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Under old business, adopt resolution PBA 22-013. Do I have a motion? Do I have a second?
Yes, sir.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Allegretto?
Yes.
Mr. Jessel?
Yes.
Mr. Shepherd?
Yes.
Mr. Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Loper?
Yes. Another resolution, PBA 21-014. Do I have a resolution?
Motion.
Second, Jessel.
Mr. Allegretto?
Yes.
Mr. Jessel?
Yes.
Mr. Shepherd?
Yes.
Mr. Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Loper?
Yes. Another one, PBA 22-05. Do I have a motion?
Jessel.
Do I have a second?
Mr. Allegretto?
Yes.
Mr. Jessel?
Yes.
Mr. Shepherd?
Yes.
Mr. Loper?
Yes. PBA 22-014. Do I have a motion?
Jessel.
Mr. Allegretto?
Yes.
Mr. Jessel?
Yes.
Mr. Shepherd?
Yes.
Mr. Loper?
Yes. Adopt the minutes of 8-3-22. Do I have a motion?
Aye.
Do I have a second?
Jessel.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Minutes adopted. Subcommittee reports. We are back in subcommittee trying to sort out a series of things. Basically trying to get things cleaned up to go through the pipeline to get the city council. And that's where we are with that. Do you have anything to add to that, Mr.?
It sounds like we're getting back to a regular meeting schedule next Tuesday.
Yes. A motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.